This is ESPN 1400, WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader, and this is the Laker Hockey Show. For the next hour, we'll hear from Laker head coach Damon Whitten and the longtime voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford. Now, let's join Bill and Damon.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is Bill Crawford, Matt Pockets with us in studio as well, and Damon Whitten, the head coach of the Lakers, and I'll tell you what, I went and watched practice for a while today, Damon. It was just great to get back in the rink, see the guys on the ice. It kind of reminded me of last season because there were no fans. And hopefully we'll have fans when the season does start here at home. But we're right on top of this thing. It's 3 weeks from now you're going to open at Omaha.
Yeah, well, first, great to be here, Bill and Matt. Thanks for having me in, and always great to talk Laker hockey. And it's coming quick, as you said, Bill. So, yeah, just over 3 weeks out, and, you know, it's great to be back on the ice. I know the guys are excited. As you guys are well aware, we have our really limited hours that we're allowed with the team. So that's, you know, I think they'd all love us out there more in some ways, although you got to also keep things fresh and break it up a little bit. And there's probably some good natural breaks because of our recruiting schedule that's going on right now, which I'm sure we'll get into a little bit more. So we're able to mix in some good off days and some days that just the players and the captains are running things. But it is, it's great to be back on the ice. You know, it's been an enjoyable group so far. Certainly a lot of changes and new faces and bodies in. But everybody, I think, likes their team this time of year, and we're no different. We're really excited about some pieces. But ultimately, like you said, it's great to be back on the ice and inching closer and closer to games.
Yeah, you got Omaha coming up in just a couple of weeks. 3 weeks' time, you're going to be playing hockey here for real. You're going to be on a two real tough road series to start the season. You're going to be at Omaha for two, and then you go to Michigan down in Ann Arbor, and there's a loaded lineup this year. And then you come home, Great Lakes State weekend, and we're right into it.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, and Omaha was a little bit of a late addition, you know, because of Huntsville's issues. They lost some games, and so we had a matching weekend off that we could play a series. You know, and the NCAA just added a new rule for the year right now. I'm not sure if it'll go on, but you can play an exhibition game. I think Michigan Tech and Northern just announced the last day or two they're going to play an exhibition game that weekend. That's maybe something we would have done instead of taking on this trip, but we didn't want to lose a whole weekend, and that rule was not approved yet. So we added the series. Obviously, they're coming off an NCAA tournament berth. You know, it's a good city, great venue there at Baxter Arena. So I think it'll be a good trip for us to get out there and bond a little bit, learn a lot about our team. Maybe the one issue is, you know, it's Saturday, Sunday because of the start date, so we got to get home and then turn around Thursday, go down to Ann Arbor. So it's a little bit congested in there to start with very limited teaching, and that's something we learned this past year in COVID. You know, I think the guys are okay with playing games, and they can, you know, recover and get that done. So I know guys, you know, will be really looking forward to it. A little bit less prep time from a coaching point of view, but a great couple of series just to start off on. And you mentioned that loaded Michigan lineup. I think it's 7 first-round draft picks. So, you know, won't get easy those first couple of weeks on the road, but we'll learn a heck of a lot about our team.
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day, Damon. These two teams you're going to play right out of the gate. I don't think anybody on this Lakers team right now has ever played at Omaha. I think the last time we played there was more than 4 years ago. And I think only maybe the seniors on this team played at Michigan, because we haven't played there in 3 or 4 seasons either. So, you know, it's going to be new territory for these kids. And you got a lot of young guys in the lineup. You have 11 freshmen in here, and a lot of them working today pretty hard. Some of them look pretty good, too.
Yeah, they do. They look good. And I think it's, you know, freshmen or transfers. It's not quite that large of a freshman class, but it's a lot of guys. And, yeah, I didn't really think about the time frame there. You'd be right. You know, that Omaha trip was, you know, my first year or two there. You know, a lot of our USHL guys have played in their junior rink there, a different arena, at Ralston Arena there. So they've been, you know, they know the city. They know the hockey town a little bit there. But that'll be a good trip. And obviously we all know Yost Ice Arena. It's a very, you know, storied venue and a great facility there to play a game in. And obviously very, you know, hostile crowd in a lot of ways, which the players really cherish. So, you know, that's a big venue, a big game. Certainly we've got a lot of Michigan guys who are really looking forward to getting home in their backyards and going down and taking on the Wolverines.
Yeah, and it's a fairly short trip. That won't be really a big problem there with the travel end of it. How are you going to travel to Omaha? You're going to fly there or are you going to bus there?
You know what? The problem with flying was it would cost us an extra day. I think they're still adjusting game times there, but we anticipate Sunday game being a little bit earlier. And if we didn't sleeper bus back, then we'd be stuck Sunday and late Monday. And then we got to get home and get to Ann Arbor. So we're going to be able to get out there a little bit early because of the bus on the way home. And that's just going to help us kind of prepare and turn the page for Michigan. So a little bit longer than we'd like to go, but logistically it got us home quite a bit earlier.
Now, since we last had a show, we only have a show every month right now. Starting in October, right when you're going to open the season, we're going to our weekly format, and we'll be letting fans know more about that here in the near future. We're kind of negotiating right now with Chris Sabo at the Antlers. How do we want to do this? I think you would prefer to have a noon show, and I've talked to a lot of fans about that. They don't seem to have a problem with that. They, you know, what's the difference, lunch or dinner? So be better for us, be better for me, and certainly for you, too, with your son playing hockey, et cetera, and things going on in the evening. So we'll have an announcement on that. We may be doing a noon Laker hockey show. It'll all depend on what the Antlers wants to do, I think, or we may have to find a different venue and a different sponsor. But since we last talked, you named your captains. Let's talk a little bit about that. Louis Bidon, junior hockey player out of Grenoble, France, is the captain of this team. You got Jacob Nordquist, a senior, and Miro Muka, another senior, kid from Sweden, kid from Slovakia. And Dustin Manns, representing the state of Michigan and the United States of America. He's a junior, but he is the other alternate captain. So you got three assistants and Louis Bidon. I think that's a good crew right
there. It is. And we're going to go ahead and call Manzi a Sugar Island native at this point, because he's pretty much Sugar Island with his family at this point. So we're going to count him local. But, you know, certainly grew up in Gaylord, not too far away. And, you know, it's a very diverse group, as you just mentioned, from many different countries and languages and all that good stuff. But, you know, it's a strong group. You know, it's you know, I think they've got certainly the respect of the team. You know, I think like a lot of places, you know, we take the temperature of the team. It doesn't necessarily come down to a team vote, but I think getting the input is very important of the team to make sure we're not off base for the way we kind of see things. And you know, when we don't see things, when we're not around on a Saturday night or you know, whatever, any evening. So we want to make sure that we've got a good pulse and what the other players see it as. And I think what was really valuable too was our outgoing seniors, you know, the Kaibel, the Mitz, Rydell, all those guys, Hampus, you know, those exit meetings. And when they talk about what they see leaving and who emerged and who took a good step or a young guy coming up, you know, Jacob Bengtsson's not going to wear a letter, but he was, you know, a great leadership guy. And I anticipate would be a captain down the road here. So the exit meetings with our outgoing seniors were really outstanding to see the way they see it and the shortcomings and the strength of this group. And it is a strength. You know, every guy's a little bit different. Dustin Manns, Jacob Nordquist are a little bit more lead by example on the ice and in the weight room. Louis and Miro are a little bit more vocal. I'll tell you, you know, Mitch Oliver and Jack Jeffers are going to be a huge part of this leadership group as well. They won't have the letter on their sweater, but Mitch is one of our most vocal guys. So Mitch Oliver carries a very loud voice in that room. It'll be, you know, really important, along with Jack. You know, Jack's obviously a transfer for only 1 year in the program, but it's a good group around them. But Louis, you know, is an outstanding leader. Obviously, we know what a talented player he is, and we expect him to have a phenomenal year. So he'll do a great job as a captain. You know, Miro Muka is one of my favorite stories. You know, if we go back to his freshman year, he didn't play often and wasn't able to just kind of make that step. You know, back then it was like he wasn't really a true bottom six guy with his skill and habits, and you know, couldn't bypass him upperclassmen in our top six role, and you know, just stayed committed to the program and to getting better and developing and being coachable. And now he's, you know, one of our best players and a leader. So he's a great example in that way alone. And then like I said, Nordy, again, one of our great players, a very dynamic defenseman. I think he'll be ready for a big year. And Dustin Manns has had a phenomenal summer. He's a huge leader in the weight room, you know, just kind of grew a little bit vocally in that role, but a guy that plays a lot of critical situations and just really important to our locker room. So really, really excited about this group, and I think they'll do a great job with accountability and leading the program.
It's not always the rah-rah guys that get captaincy either. I mean, there's different types of leadership. So what kind of things do you look for, do you emphasize when you're looking at leaders?
Well, and I think, Matt, to your point, like that's a little bit why I brought up, you know, the outgoing seniors and their feedback. I think think coaches, sometimes we can get fooled. We see a vocal guy, maybe that rah-rah guy you mentioned, and we see him as this big leader. And I've been in programs where, you know, after the year, like, what were you guys thinking? Like, you know, we don't see him that way. He doesn't fit in that way. So that's why feedback is important. Again, not necessarily a true vote necessarily, but you want to have the pulse of the team. So that's really important. You don't get fooled there. But, you know, there's a lot of different things, and that's why you have a group. You know, we went with three assistants this year to balance it out, but you definitely need some rah-rah and some life and some vocalness. And, you know, the Louis will be maybe the main leader with the letter along with Mitch Oliver, but you need guys who do things the right way. So you're looking at classroom habits and lifestyle habits, you know, the diets they adhere to, you know, their weekend routines, what they're doing on a Saturday night, making good decisions, leading the program. So it's really a very broad spectrum of what that looks like, and it's on the ice, it's off the ice, in the classroom, in the community. You know, all those things are very important. And again, I think this group really hits a lot of those areas.
I think it's important too to find guys outside of just the letter group. I mean, you're going to have different leaders within different social groups too, and it's important to be able to find that even just outside of those four guys you mentioned, Mitch Oliver and company. I mean, those guys are going to be huge too.
Huge. You know, yeah, it's not just those guys. And, you know, sometimes when you don't have that right, you might have the seniors pushing back against the captains, and your chemistry is obviously, you know, really, really off and not going to work well. So yeah, no question. Like I said, Mitch is one of our most vocal guys. Mitch has a great strength of holding guys accountable. He's not afraid to, you know, to challenge a guy, you know, verbally to practice better, practice with the right habits, you know, and really get on guys. So Mitch will be important. Jack Jeffers, again, he's only 1 year in our program, but Jack's a real glue guy. Guys look to him. He's got great leadership qualities. You know, mentioned Jacob Bankston already, you know, only a sophomore, but I think you'll see a real breakout season from Jacob. He had a good season last year. I think he's really going to break out and a real, you know, strong leadership guy as a young guy. Grant Hinman coming in. I mean, Grant's you know, Grant was unbelievable in our strength conditioning testing. You know, one of the strongest guys on the team, phenomenal team guy, plays the right way, committed. So there's a freshman that's going to be a real glue guy with that freshman class. So he's going to help us, you know, have a pulse of that freshman group as well. So those guys are really, really important, as you mentioned.
I think some guys, too, don't necessarily need to have that letter to command that respect in the locker room. Others, maybe they do need it in some ways. Maybe it's something that'll push them to bring out the best in themselves, too.
Those are always interesting conversations, as you said. You know, you never... You know, and I've been there where you feel like you have to put a letter on certain guys, and we've had that here, and you know, and it's a tough balance for sure. But you're right, you know, some guys are going to react really poorly when they don't get it, and that's going to be, you know, maybe a week, maybe a month, maybe half a season to build them back up or correct the action or the body language or the disappointment. But yeah, you know, you really want to try to stay away from giving a guy a letter because of the way, you know, they will handle it, or as a carrot, you know. But I've seen both of those things. But again, we like this group. We feel really good about them. And we think we've kind of hit a lot of different areas where they're going to be really strong for our team.
This is kind of getting off on a tangent a little bit, but have you, in all your years of hockey, ever seen somebody who maybe did not want that responsibility? They looked at the letter and went, "That's not me."
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, that happens. Well, it's a great point. I mean, I don't think it's overly, you know, often that happens, but you do have guys that are just not comfortable. You know, they want to stay, and it's not a bad thing at times, you know, because what the problem is, if one of these guys change who they are, the guys find that out quickly. You know, they've been around long enough. They know who they are. They know who their, you know, their personality and their character is. If all of a sudden you flip a switch and try to act like a captain, in quotations here, then the guys find that out quickly, and that doesn't work either. So yes, there has been a couple situations over the years where guys just, you know, hey, I don't know if I'm ready for that, or I'm not comfortable in that role, and you've got to reassess and pivot.
Yeah, I think, you know, you look at these guys, I think you got four good ones there, and I like the conversation here with Mitch Oliver and Bankston, and because those guys are, you know, you can't have eight captains, but in all reality, you can. And I think a guy like Mitch Oliver, he's going to accept the fact, okay, I don't have an A on here, but that's not going to change my style on how I do things in the locker room and on the ice.
Yeah, no, it's got to be a group. You know, it just can't be those guys with letters. It's the guys around them. Your upperclassmen in you know, college athletics are always so important. And yeah, so it's a lot about defining roles, how you're going to lead, you know, what ways you can help those guys, or what ways you can take on your own leadership role. So those are things that, you know, we feel like we try to really be on top of. You know, certainly, you know, guys knew before, the couple of guys who didn't get letters, you know, there's conversations before that, so they're aware of that. And trying to define ways, like you just said, Bill, that they are going to lead and contribute in other ways besides on the ice. So I think that's all part of that team dynamic. And, you know, it moves every day. It's different every day from what they're going through and dealing with. And, you know, you've got to be very communicative in today's world to handle all those different situations that come up.
Last show, we talked a little bit about some of the people who were departing besides hockey players. We lost Hunter Perry, who oversaw the ticketing end of things and did a lot of the PR type work for the hockey department as well as the athletic department. And you lost Rico Righetti as your compliance officer. You've replaced those people, Abby Layla, who's been around for a while now and graduated at Michigan Tech. She's going to do a great job, I think, as an assistant AD for external relations and the senior woman administrator at Lake State. And then you got Gabe Schmidt, who's coming home, really. He's a 2014 graduate of Lake Superior State. He's been working various other jobs, but he's going to be an assistant AD for compliance. And there's two big positions filled right there. And the other one we talked about last show was Pat Sarney leaving as your athletic trainer. Has that one been filled yet?
Yeah. Like you said, it's great to have Gabe back, you know, and have an alum who understands the heartbeat of campus and town and in the program. And I think I can't remember if I had 1 year with Gabe while he was here, so I knew him a little bit as a student. And you know, certainly his passion for Laker athletics was outstanding then and it is now. So we're excited for him to you know, jump into that role. And you know, we have a lot of work, especially with our international roster with compliance. So it'll be really important to us. Abby, is a tremendous addition. You know, Abby was already very involved with our social media and, you know, had us, you know, high up in the nation. You know, we were ranked, I think, top 10, top 12 in a lot of metrics on social media, along with, you know, the Notre Dames, the Wisconsins. So that marketing role is something that she's very comfortable in, has done a really good job already. And, you know, familiarity with ticketing and things like that. So I think it's, you know, she's a UP native as well, understands that, as you mentioned, she's been here, I think, 5 or 6 years, maybe the first year with us as well. So we're excited to welcome her in that role. We have replaced our athletic trainer. We'll wait another week or so as, you know, they finish their transition and get up here. And also Mike Guggen, you know, Mike was announced at St. Lawrence, I think, since we talked, as their director of hockey ops. So Guggs did a great job with us, and St. Lawrence is going to love what he does in that role. And we have a new volunteer coach coming up as well. Again, it's a week or so out, so we'll probably hit that next episode. But I think they're good pieces of the puzzle. You know, obviously it's late, and that's the challenge. So the job, we've had a lot of communication with those pieces too, trying to get them as looped in as we can. Our volunteer coach, you know, has all our systems, has all our structures, kind of familiarizing himself with that. And then when they get here, we'll jump them right in and try to catch them up.
I got to give props to Googs because he's the man. He got married at Able Arena. He's a good guy, a good friend, a great buffet buddy to have too. We would hit one of the local buffets sometimes. We're going to miss the guy. He's a great dude.
You know, you said he's a UP native. We love Mike Guggen and Kayla. They did a great job, not only for us, but Kayla in town. And, you know, I think it was very reluctant, you know, and as I don't know if people know, but Mike was our volunteer coach per NCAA rules. You know, he wants to get into this full time and be a coach. And he worked with a good friend of mine, Mike Skijinski, at Lawrence University in the past. So this is a paid role he's stepping to. So it's a great move for Mike Guggen as director of hockey operations. He'll do a great job for St. Lawrence. I know he really misses being here and in the UP, but it's a great step for him. So we just wish him well and thank him for all he did for our program.
Yeah, it's good stuff that's going on, and we do have a trainer on. We knew we'd get one. You can't go into the season without an athletic trainer in place. So we'll announce all that stuff when we do. We're going to get to our weekly shows, I would think, right after you play at Omaha. I would think maybe October the 5th is going to be our first weekly show wherever we do it, whether it's in studio or at the Antlers or some other venue here in Sault Ste. Marie. We've got 11 newcomers on this team this year, Damon. I think 9 of them are freshmen, maybe 6 of them are freshmen, but you've got some transfers in there too. In practice today, you worked on power play, a little bit of PK out there, maybe a little more concentration on the penalty kill than on the power play, but I saw some pretty interesting things out there. I really like Jake Willits. He had some size back there, and I was impressed with Hinman, how big he is. I didn't know he was as tall as he is. And Sebastian Medema, he's a big boy. I mean, you get some really good players here, and I think especially on defense, we look as good as I thought we were going to.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, a lot of what we're doing right now is dictated by our schedules and what we're doing, which is you know, really unfortunate in some ways. You know, there's nowhere else we'd rather be than right here with our team working, but we're also in showcase season, so we have to get out on the road and you know, evaluate the next wave, or you know, maybe it's committed players or looking for new players, obviously. So because of different travel schedules for the coaching staff, you know, we've got to kind of find a way to get our structure in place. The teaching done in the little pockets we have. And so it's built that way. So we had all three coaches today. We won't have that for quite a while now because of the showcases of all the different leagues. So, yeah, today was a little bit of a PK install day following it yesterday, some PK in zone, a little bit of PK up ice. So our penalty kill unit, you know, we want to make sure that we're ready to go. I think it's going to be, you know, obviously very important there. So it was a good day. And like you said, you know, those D that you mentioned, you know, Grant Hinman came in phenomenal shape. He skates really well. I would say, you know, a little bit like Colin Sockerman, a very high compete level, tough, nasty. He probably moves a little bit better than Colin did coming in his freshman year. You know, Colin obviously was phenomenal on the score sheet and scored a lot of goals for us. So hopefully Grant can grow that part of his game as well. Sebastian Medina has done a good job. We had him half a year. I kind of forget to count him as a freshman because he came in at Christmas last year due to visa issues and just trying to get back on the ice. So Sebby's done a good job for us as well, fitting in. Jake Wells done a really good job, you know, and big kid, like you said, he's very, very strong. He's adjusting systems. They played a much different system down at Ferris State, so he's getting more and more comfortable there and done a really good job. You see how he was an all-league performer because of his stick skills and vision and shooting ability, all very, very good. So it's a deep group, you know, and that's just the newcomers. We're not talking about the Nordquist, the Bankstons, the Hendricksons.
Borshoff.
Yeah, the Borshoffs.
Who's huge, by the way.
Yeah, he's a big kid too. So we've got good size back there. You know, Zach Sizek keeps talking about how our skating has improved. He thinks we look like a faster, quicker team, and I think we've all talked about our puck touches early on. We've been really impressed with the way guys have handled pucks, passed pucks, shot the puck. So, you know, right now there's an optimism, and there always is this time of year, but we feel like this group will be a pretty strong group.
It's the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Damon, you mentioned conditioning a minute ago. Clearly, players come in at one level of conditioning, but it doesn't just freeze in place when the season starts. You have to try to maintain that. How difficult is that once the season starts to find that level of fitness and to keep it there for the next, what, 4, 5, 6 months?
Yeah, peaking there too. You know, and it's, you know, the science is so refined in that area, and Taylor Brown does an awesome job for us. So, yeah, they're coming in as strong as they will be. Like you said, you know, we're not going to get much stronger at this point. It's trying to sustain as much muscle mass and strength as you can, and now you're starting to pick up your cardio. You know, now we're a couple weeks out, so our cardio has to start picking up with our strength base. You know, this is all stuff that they've been working with Taylor and their coaches back home. So yeah, it's our job to kind of find that fine line to work with Taylor Brown as we're measuring, you know, heart rates and recoverability and all these different areas. You know, we're trying to, you know, and then we're also very limited with how much time we get on the ice. So there's only so much we can do in our 4 hours. But yeah, that's the key, is, you know, finding that very fine line of not overtaxing the guys so we can get productive practices, we can teach, retain, but also starting to build towards game shape. So it's a very interesting craft. It's not a perfect science, but there's more and more that helps us do that. And Taylor Brown's a big part of that.
Yeah, while we're on the subject, too, before we take our first break here on the show tonight, you've had the testing, I take it. You've gone through all that sort of thing, and I don't expect you to be anything except optimistic with that. But without naming names, if somebody wasn't in shape, you could maybe say something about that. But I think these guys probably tested pretty well.
Yeah, and Bill, just make me forget, before we talked about the athletic trainer, I just want to make, Becky Nason has done an unbelievable job. Oh, yeah. She's covering the department because of Pat Sarny's late departure. So Becky's been unbelievable. So along with Taylor Brown, you know, it's your athletic trainer, and because we're between athletic trainers, that I kind of let that slip a little bit. But thank you to Becky for all she's done. And so, you know, she's played a big role in some of that, you know, Matt, as you mentioned, that peak shape. And so we're always, you know, getting her feedback from what she's seeing with our student athletes. So thanks to Becky, doing a great job. And then to your point, Bill, yeah, I mean, So what we do, you know, we always do pre and postseason testing. So we have benchmarks from, you know, when guys were at their freshman year, when they left in the spring, you know, and then as they return from their summer programming. So we can look at what, you know, Jeremy Gervais or Josh Wildow or anybody through the program, what they've done, and check those baselines and see where we're at. So we were very pleased. You know, Taylor Brown, there's no doubt that our baseline, our starting point is one of the better we've had in our time here. It helps with guys like Grant Hinman, Cole Kraft coming in and just, you know, really setting a bar for the freshmen. You know, Brett Rollison, strength-wise, a little bit behind, but some of his agility runs, his jumping, really outstanding. So you see the athletic component for a guy like Brett Rollison as a freshman coming in. You know, and like any freshman, is going to need to get stronger. But the baseline is there. Our testing went really well. You know, and now guys, you know, have to find those different levels to sustain it. But Taylor was really happy with it, and we see the results too. When we look back a year, 2 years, 3 years, we're as good or better as we have been. So it's a good place to start from.
Yeah, yeah. It's always a good thing. I think it's down to a real science now, and Taylor Brown and people like that who do that job are just invaluable to a coaching staff.
Yeah, you can't get done what we need to get done without him. So very, very appreciative of the job he's done. He's done a great job, relates well to our guys, and he has us ready to play. And so he's done his job very well to this point.
All righty, we're going to take a break. We're only going to take a couple of breaks tonight on the show, but we'll be back. We got Damon Whitten, Matt Pocket, Bill Crawford. It's Laker Hockey Talk, and we'll be right back on ESPN 1400.
You're listening to the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400 with Laker head coach Damon Whitten. Now, here's Bill Crawford.
All right, we're back with a Laker Hockey Talk, which is our summer version of Laker Hockey Show. We will be going to a show again probably October the 5th, I'm thinking, on a weekly basis. And we'll really know we're in hockey season when we start having this show every week. It'll get real busy then. It's busy enough now. When you do a show once a month, Damon, there's a lot to talk about. And we've talked about newcomers quite a bit this summer, but let's kind of run through it again. We've got, you know, a lot of new faces in the lineup, and I think fans like to know who these kids are, and so we'll run them down again. Forwards, you've got a young guy named Dawson Tritt, who's looked really good in practice so far. Cole Kraft, you mentioned him a few minutes ago. He's a big guy. He's taller than I thought he was, and looks like he works out quite a bit. He's in good shape. Jordan Venegoni, you got Brett Rollison. You mentioned him a moment ago. Harrison Roy, the young man who transferred in from Boston College. A lot of people want to know about him. Timo Backos, I thought he looked really good today. He's the German national who came in having only played a few games, maybe 30 games last year in Germany at a fairly low level. And then Josh Nixon, who was really good in Maryland last year in the North American League. Those are your forwards, and there's some pretty good stuff right there. There's some good talent.
Yeah, I don't know if you mentioned Brett Rollison as well, if you missed him.
I did mention.
You did? Okay, thank you. These are always hard because you forget somebody and whatnot. But, yeah, you know, I think Mike York and Zach Sizek have done a really good job. You know, one of our emphases is trying to identify hockey IQ and finding guys who play the game very smart and wise, and, you know, trying to analyze that, which is, you know, obviously, you know, not very scientific. It's hard to measure that at times, but I think Mike and Zach did a really good job identifying guys. We've seen that from all these guys, you know, very smart players up front with this group. You know, again, different levels of strength and where they're at as freshmen. I would say Josh Nixon has done a really good job early on. I think he ended up leading the North American League in playoffs. You know, when he got to Maryland from Sioux City, it was you know, a little bit of an adjustment for him in handling that change, and then he kind of got back to himself for playoff. And again, I think he was the highest scoring player through the playoffs, if I remember correctly, or right up there. So he stepped in, done a good job. You know, and we've liked what he's done. You know, Cole Kraft, like you said, big strong guy. He's a right shot, a right winger, and plays very well on the wall, goes to the paint. Like, he plays that big strong power forward game. So, you know, he's done some things. You mentioned Timo, and you've noticed him and Dawson Tritt. Again, good-sized guys, both guys with good brains. They move well. You know, Timo has done a good job, you know, up the middle of the ice there, and that'll be important with our losses, you know, with Hampus and Alex Ambrosio. You know, that's a position of need, as who's going to fill some of those minutes at the center position. So Timo's done a good job early on there. Brett Rollison, same thing. You know, Brett can distribute pucks very well. He skates, thinks the game really, really well. Again, strength will be one of his areas. He needs to get stronger and physically mature a little bit like Benny Posa last year. It's going to take a little time there. And Jordan Vanagoni has done a good job as well. You know, he's done a really good job on the power play. You know, great stick, great vision for the game. He will not be eligible in the first half, so, you know, we probably won't talk a ton about him because he's going to, you know, kind of help us out in a lot of different roles as his transcript gets caught up and figured out through that process. But again, a guy we like up there. So it's, you know, Mike and Zach, again, deserve a lot of credit for going out and identifying these guys and building relationships and really filling some holes. So I think there's going to be at least, you know, two or three of these guys opening night will be in there. And there's going to be two or three that are battling to try to, you know, displace a returner or a guy with more experience. So it'll help with the competitive nature of this group.
How about Harrison Roy, the transfer from BC?
Yeah, done a really good job. You know, obviously, you know, a year of college hockey under his belt at a big-time program. So he stepped in and really, you know, fit in very well. You know, I don't think I've been very shy in saying that with the departure of Ashton Calder, you know, a little bit like, you know, losing the D, you know, they graduated with Will Rydell and Lucas Kiebel in particular. So to get Jake Willits, who's not a true a freshman coming in and having to learn it quickly, Harry will help offset Ashton Calder a little bit, bringing a guy with a year of college hockey under his belt. And, you know, I think he'll do a really good job there. So he's done a good job. You know, he's working through some top power play units, getting some looks there and working with some top guys there. So he's a good hockey player, and he's going to really help us.
Yeah, you mentioned Jake Willits a second ago. He's one of the – Harry Roy comes from BC. He's a transfer. Jake Willits, Ferris State transfer, coming in as a junior. He's a good player. He's going to do well for you. And I think, you know, you're going to probably have a 7D lineup quite a bit here, especially early, because you got a lot of good defensemen here. You got nine guys that I counted today, and I would say seven of them are all certainly capable of stepping in and playing right now. And could be all nine of them could. And you got Sebastian Medema. We mentioned him already in the show tonight, and Grant Hinman. That's three good D-men right there. They could all play.
Yeah, no, those newcomers that, you know, obviously lost some key guys that played big minutes. And then that's going to be the biggest thing is just, you know, giving these guys some opportunities to, you know, get into action and see where, you know, where they can help us most and put them in situations to be successful. Obviously, we're going to look very heavily at Nordquist to have a huge year and lead the way back there. You know, Arvid Henriksen, I think, has played so well for us and he's taken a step in his game as well. We know he's, you know, very elite defensively with his size and his skating ability at 6'5", plays heavy, and kill. His puck skills have taken another step forward, so he's shooting the puck better. He's showing a little bit more poise at the offensive blue line. Jacob Bankston was very good down the stretch run. He's been tremendous coming back. You know, Mitch Oliver, another very good player who, you know, has battled through some injuries, but Mitch is in a better spot here today. You know, Artie Borshoff, we had a tough situation last year because of COVID and the visa situation. He joined our program very late, and it never really gave him a chance to kind of get caught up and get going there. So we're looking for Artie to take that next step. And same thing with Jeremy Gervais. You know, Gervais had a really good summer. He's improved his strength and his skating. You know, very good vision, very smart. I think his brain is just off the chart. So we like Gervais a lot as well. So it's a competitive group, and you know, we're a couple weeks out, and we don't quite know what that pairings and groups are going to look like. And that's something we got to start working our way through quickly.
When you're bringing young guys into the lineup, Damon, you certainly need them for a role now, but you also kind of have an eye on what do I think this guy can be in the future. So you also have to kind of steer their career in the direction that you want them to end up in eventually, right? How do you strike that balance with a younger player that you know can get minutes now in some way?
Yeah, well, and I brought up Miro Muka earlier. Like, he was a hard one because we saw a lot in Miro Muka. I can't remember what he scored. Yeah, it was maybe 30 goals, 25, whatever. He was first or second in the North American League in Minot in goals, and it was a big amount. He's a very talented hockey player. But Miro was a little bit challenging because, again, he's not – probably your prototypical bottom six type forward, a crasher, banger, you know, that kind of checking role. And he wasn't ready to crack our top six with Nellis and Diego and Humitz and some of those guys. And so, you know, striking that balance with Miro was constant communication. And, you know, I remember Miro coming in multiple times, you know, do I fit with your program? Do you guys see me playing? And we said, you know, just, you know, try to believe in what we're saying. And we see this in you. And so Matt, sometimes it's that, just the communication part. And then other guys, like like we said, you know, you want guys to find success early on. So I, you know, we're I think we're still in a place as a program where 5-6 years ago we probably weren't. When Lucas Kiebel came and Sacco came, they were playing against top guys, and that's not easy. Jacob Bankston last year, you know, like he should have played more. 4 years ago, he would have been like those guys playing top minutes, and he didn't have to last year. So you're able to spot them in, hopefully find spots to grow confidence and build them up. And so that's what you tried to do. When Grant Hinman goes in, we hope it's a manageable situation where he can find success, confidence can grow and build upon it, because the opposite's really tough. If you get spot in the lineup and you're not ready for it, you know, your confidence starts going down, and that's hard to recover from.
For the record, research shows that Miroslav Muka, 30 goals in 2017-18 in the NAHL. He finished fourth in the league
So a big year, yeah. And it took time, you know, and he just had to be patient and believe in himself and hopefully build trust that we saw that in him. So everybody's a little bit different, but, yeah, I think we're big. And again, a couple years back, we didn't have that. We put young guys in tough roles, Mitch Holtz and Gage Terrell, and you take your lumps, and it's really frustrating, and you lose confidence. Now, you know, I think our depth is still at a point where we control those minutes a little bit more and have guys ready to spot in, or Josh Wildauer take a big step forward, Benny Posa take a big step forward, and you have upperclassmen or at least second-year guys that are biting off those roles instead of inserting a freshman in some of those situations.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think you're right on the money there. And, you know, it would have been tough. I mean, you take Muriel probably got really frustrated he wasn't getting to play, but what are you going to take Anthony Nellis out of the lineup? So, and I guess you could for a game, but you're not going to take guys who paid their dues out of the lineup and they're playing well to have a freshman play more. So
yeah.
Freshmen just have to they got to play through it now.
At times, for sure. You know, and I think we're all nervous in the college sporting world now because of the transfer portal.
Guy doesn't get to play, he's leaving.
Yeah, Miro very easily could have done that, you know, a couple of years back, even with, you know, the sit out back then. Now it's harder, you know, or you know, holding guys accountable who maybe, you know, had a bad Saturday night and made a mistake, you know, away from the rink. You know, how do we handle those coaches and have accountability within our team? And you know, you better have strong relationships, because if not, there's a lot of guys jumping in the portal because it's easy to do, and that's going to be a real balancing act for all of us.
Yeah, you go somewhere else and sit behind somebody who's older and more experienced there.
Right.
You got to make sure you're doing the right thing here. You got to look at what's going on and where you're going. The only freshman we didn't hit, I really liked him today. I think you made the point the last couple of shows, we didn't just bring in a third goalie to have a third goalie here. We brought in a kid we think can play. This kid can play. I watched him today. He's pretty good.
He had an awesome day.
Easton Hess.
Yeah, he's been very good. He's, you know, he's very capable. And like I said, I'll rehash it. I know we've talked about it a couple times, but, you know, 2 years ago at this time, or the start of last hockey season, we were going to go find, you know, just a true walk-on goalie that would probably never have a chance of playing. And that's pretty common. There's a lot of teams, and I kind of like it that way. You know, you've got your two main guys. You know, you want somebody who understands it, accepts that role, will get, you know, be part of the team and work with Coach Isaac and all those things. But obviously we feel really good about Seth Isley and Ethan Langenager. That's backed up by how many minutes they played last year. I was reading some stuff today about, you know, lack of minutes for some guys who behind top goalies. And because we thought so highly of Seth and Ethan that we got them 4, 5, 6 starts, whatever it was. But Easton will play for us one day, we truly believe. You know, again, going to have to be a little bit patient because of the ability of Seth and Ethan, but we expect them to kind of be a 1A, 1B, or, you know, really strong battle between our goaltenders. And then Easton, you know, when somebody, you know, moves on, graduates, signs, whatever the case may be, Easton is now ready to battle for a number one job versus that true third string goalie. So with the transfer portal, things like that, you know, we changed our philosophy on that, and Easton's done a really good job. And I know Zach's excited to keep working with him, and we feel like he'll be a guy that will play for us down the road.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. He's not real big, but he's quick, and I was impressed with his positioning today. I liked how he moved in the net, and, you know, that's one practice. Doesn't mean he's a great player, but I think he's pretty good. He's going to be all right. Now, let's talk returnees. We haven't really done that. We've been here all summer with this show. We haven't talked about the guys who are coming back. You got 10 forwards back on this team. And, you know, I think with the departure of the seniors who graduated, guys like Hampus and Ambrosio and, you know, Chase Gamlin and these guys who left after they graduated, we've also lost some other pretty good players, Ashton Calder and Pete Violette, and a lot of goals went out the door there. So everybody's looking at this and saying, can these guys step up? Are there guys here? And you got Tyler Williams, who I thought looked really good today in practice. He's still, you know, he's not big, but he's quick, and I think he knows the game pretty well. I think he's going to surprise people. Logan Genuine, he's got tremendous scoring ability, great shot. Dustin Manns, we've talked about him, how strong he is. He's going to play. He wins every faceoff he takes. Muka, we just talked about him. He's going to be back and playing well. There's no doubt about it. Brandon Percelli, I thought was great for you last year. Spencer Dembeste, now here's a kid. I think he looks really good. He's big. He's strong. He's kind of a leader guy. I watch him. He talks to the other guys. They look at him, and it's not like he didn't play much. He didn't play much last year. That's not a problem. These guys like him, and I think he's going to be a good player for you. He's a kid out of Marquette. You got Josh Wildauer. You mentioned him a few minutes ago. He got hurt last year, which is why he missed about half a season. He was injured, but he can play. He was playing all the time early in the season. Jack Jeffers, good player. Kid we got out of Alabama. And then you got Benny Posa, who scored 4 goals last year, limited role, only played a lot in the second half, needed to get stronger. I hope he did. He's big enough. And you got Louis Badon. I mean, that's pretty good talent right there. If these guys can just step up a little bit, score a few more goals here and there, this is going to be a good hockey team, because I think you're better on D, and I think you're pretty good in goal.
We've got the question marks are experience. Like you said, as good as Merrick's was, we feel really good about our goaltending. Now they don't, Merrick's was a senior having a great year and a Richter Award finalist. So Seth and Ethan and Easton, that group, are going to have to quickly figure out the travel and the ups and downs of being that number one or big minute. So and then same thing on the back end. We like our group, but we lost a couple experienced guys in Kybel and Rydell. Who's going to emerge? That's part of it. But that forward group, like you said, we're going to certainly need guys like Louis and Manns and Perch. They've got to take that next step. They've got to be that go-to guy. There's certainly the ability with some of those guys to do that and be a threat night in and night out. They got to handle matchups of going, into Omaha and having the top D pairing matched up against them and top defensive line. So that's all part of it. I think Josh Wildauer to me is one of the, the bright spots of camp. Josh has been really good. Not surprising. We thought he would be, and he's, big score to the BCHL as well. So, Josh is another guy that we need to take a big step forward. So there's a lot of those guys. Tyler Williams, you mentioned, same thing. Like, he's a little bit like Miro Muka, where he should have played more last year. We just, I think we lost back-to-back games once all year, and there just wasn't a lot of opportunities to pull guys out because of the consistency they played with and the experience they had. So Tyler and Spencer are both guys like that a little bit. They've got to show it. Now they're gonna have a little bit more chance to earn a role and show what they can do. Spencer's another one of those good power forwards who, aggressive forechecker, plays really hard, gets the dirty areas. There's opportunities for all those guys, and we need, Posa to go from 4 to 8 or 10 and, those guys to take those steps. So, a lot of people question where that offense is going to come from, but guys like Louis taking a step, Brandon Percelli taking a step, Miro, that's where the bulk of it's going to have to be. Logan Genuine's going to have to come back in and, get us some goals as he's done at every level. And, that's the expectation. And we're seeing that, like I said, I think our puck touches are elevated. We've got a little bit more of a better skilled team, we think, overall this year. But certainly the other habits, the defensive awareness has to be on point as well.
Defensively, and we've mentioned Bengtsson several times, he's back. He's a really good defenseman, just a sophomore. Arvid Henriksson, junior now, he's been around long enough. He's a good player. Mitch Oliver, talked about him. Jacob Nordquist, he's outstanding. Borshoff, he's probably the biggest defenseman we've got. He's huge. He's 6'3", well in excess of 200 pounds and in great shape. And Jeremy Gervais. I mean, that's 6 good defensemen right there. Yeah. We already talked about Hinman and some of the freshmen. I mean, looks good.
Yeah, no, it is. It's, I think we feel good about the group in terms of knowing they can play. We're starting to try to drill down a little bit and who's going to play where and you know, partner with who and what kind of role they're playing in. You know, so that's a big piece of it. You know, when you look at, I think Arvi's got, Arvid Henriksen has Artie Borshoff by an inch or two, but two big, big, strong guys. You know, Artie's got, you know, the better stick. Arvid's got the better feet. So they complement each other well and play, you know, a little bit different roles there. But it's a good group for sure. And I think that competition is going to be, you know, ongoing all season long where, you might see us playing seven this night and flipping one out for the next night. But, you know, we're excited about the group. And now they got to go out and earn the right to, you know, play certain roles and fit in.
All right, we're going to take a break, our second of the evening. Laker Hockey Show speeding along like it always does. Matt Pocket, Damon Whitten, I'm Bill Crawford. We'll be right back with more on ESPN 1400.
Now back to the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400 with Laker head coach Damon Whitten and the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford.
Alrighty, we're back for our final segment of the Laker Hockey Talk program for the month of September. And as we've said already, our next show will be the first of our weekly shows. It'll probably be on October the 5th, and we'll certainly let you know. We'll have announcements out. We'll use social media for that. We'll go on the air with it and let fans know where we're going to be and if they can join us. We certainly hope they can. And that's one thing we really haven't talked about. I don't know if a decision's been made. I haven't read anything out of Lake Superior State on whether fans are going to be allowed to come to games, basketball, hockey, volleyball. I mean, volleyball is going to play at home here pretty quick. Can fans go in and watch them play?
Yeah, my understanding is correct. I mean, like anything in the world now, we're you know, looking for state and federal guidance and all those areas, and we all know it can change pretty quickly. But yeah, I mean, tickets are being sold, and so certainly online, and now with Abby on board, I think, you know, a little bit better access with that position being filled. So if people need to call, that's an option as well. But online is a preferred method for season tickets, single game tickets now going, I believe, as well, and that Laker Gold plan that we've talked about a couple times. So yeah, definitely get your tickets there. But we expect fans in the building as of today. We hope that doesn't change, obviously, and we're seeing it across college football, you know, what that looks like. And
how about, you know, Michigan the other night?
Yeah, it'll
120,000 be 120,000 fans.
It'll be such a great feeling, you know, on that Great Lakes State weekend if we have people in the building. So we're optimistic and hopeful, and as of today, yes, you know, you want to get your tickets. And, you know, if there is any restrictions, I would want to be in there early so that I wasn't one that was prevented from going. So it is a little bit of a carrot to go get those tickets in place in case there is any kind of restrictions at that point.
And let's take a second too, because Laker men's basketball this year is primed for a monster season. They've got some guys on that team that are going to dominate the GLIAC. I think that team could be the year for them. They might win the league.
It's going to be fun to watch. Yeah, they've done a great job, and I know they're ready to take that big step forward.
Yeah.
So it's fun. I can't wait for that to go and be back in there and, you know, get my daughter some of the girls' game or volleyball. So it's exciting to kind of have, you know, that normalcy back.
Steve Hedinga, man, he does such a good job of recruiting. He does such a good job coaching up those players too. I mean, you just see, you know, a couple of years ago, I remember Mike Nicholson. There was a Kem J. Williams who I don't think was much bigger than me, and he was an incredible basketball player. So they've got a few guys this year. You're going to want to see that team.
Yeah,
they're good.
It's a great product. It'll be really fun to watch that squad and all the teams going again. So, yeah, for sure. And like I said, volleyball's going. So, you know, I don't know the home schedule off the top of my head, but they're underway. So it's a chance to get out and support Laker athletics, which will be great to see.
And fans will be, as of right now, coming to the games this year. So get your tickets and get ready, because the Lakers are going to play at home in the middle of October. We're going to play against St. Thomas. It's going to be Great Lakes State weekend. And you know, you talk, Matt just mentioned Steve Hedinga. I know you and Steve have great respect for each other. I think one of the keys here with that basketball program and right now with hockey is the culture that's been created. That's so important to have that winning culture and to have the right attitudes and the right character players. And we've seen it come in hockey, and it's certainly there in basketball too. I think those two teams in particular are outstanding in that area.
Yeah, you know, and it takes a while. I wish we would have done it overnight, you know, and not take that process. But you're right. Sometimes you can't do it, and you need the right pieces in place and the right people on the bus, as a lot of people like to allude to. So we feel like we have that, and I'm excited for that Great Lakes State Weekend, as you mentioned, Bill. And just to remind everybody, we will do a banner unveiling ceremony at the Saturday night game. So I think Great Lakes State Weekend, it's always an incredible weekend of alumni back and fans and all kinds of great activities going on. But it's going to be, you know, for me and for the program, a very special moment to unveil the banner. And actually, speaking of that, we were looking at them the other day in the history. Cindy Mason was in town just the other day there. So Coach Mason's daughter was up, and it was great to hear some of the stories of where she grew up. And, you know, they lived on the campus, and, hearing some of those great stories from Cindy was really special there too. So it was nice to see her and, you know, hear Marion's doing very well and, talk with her and Coach Mason a little bit.
Yeah, that's, Ron Mason was such a big part of this program when it started. This is where he got his start as a coach, and he certainly turned that into some great things in his life. And, you know, another guy who probably left us a lot sooner than we wanted or than we expected.
Question.
And, that's great to hear that Cindy was here and that, that Marion's doing well. We didn't mention our two goaltenders who are returning, and we have mentioned them throughout the show tonight, but let's bring them up straight ahead. Seth Isley, the young man out of Minnesota. Ethan Langenegger out of British Columbia. This is two pretty good goaltenders. They're going to battle it out, 1 and 2, and then you'll have Easton Hess, we talked about, very capable as the number three guy. And this is going to be interesting to see what happens here, because Merrick's Mittens played the bulk of the games, and yet these two guys both saw maybe 3-4 games action last year. And so they got their feet wet. They know what they want to do. And Seth stayed here all summer. I talked to him numerous times, and I know he's fired up. He wants a chance here to play.
Oh, yeah, he'll get it. It's going to be great. You know, you mentioned culture a little bit with our program and Coach Hettinger's program. And, I think that's one of the things with our goaltending situation that Zach Sizek in particular has done a great job with. As competitive as those two are and as badly as they want the number one job, it's such a healthy competition amongst the three of them and the way they support each other and push each other. So again, it's just a piece of that culture. If you've got, jealousy in that room or bitterness in that room, it eats away at the team. So, that trio of goaltenders and Coach Sizek, the job they do, very supportive, great kids. And we're really, really looking forward to the competition. You know, you get to practice in small area games or anything. We've got two goalies battling. Doesn't matter which of the three it is. It's great to watch and just kind of elevates our whole practice. I've talked a lot about, other Richter Award finalists and the teams they were on. The goaltenders behind those finalists did not play many or any minutes in some cases. And so for us to get, multiple starts for both Seth and Ethan, I think Mitz missed, was it 2 games because of a COVID pause for him and had to be in quarantine or whatever. So, and there would have been more had our schedule not gotten shooken up early with losing Ferris. I can't remember who else we lost early on, but we had more starts in line for them because we know they're capable of playing and being very quality goaltenders. So really excited. Seth coming in as a freshman, didn't have a summer. He's coming off hip surgery. He's through that, obviously. He's had a great summer. He's the strongest he's ever been, in great shape. And, Ethan didn't have that disadvantage coming off any major injury. So he's ready to go. Again, very capable. We don't quite know how that will shake out yet, but both guys will have ample opportunities to win that job. And we think it's going to be a real strength to our team.
Character is huge. I mean, you're not really just recruiting skills. I think we kind of lose that with how many video games we've played as a society, but you're really not just recruiting stats and skills. You're recruiting people and personalities too. How do you balance that out with these young guys before they even get into your program?
The biggest, the best way, I think, especially in today's world, the kids are so connected. Like, Benny Poza seems like he's played with, every kid we talk to. Benny, my buddy said you guys called, and Benny played with them or knew him from somewhere. So when you go to a program, and sometimes it's relationship with the coach or GM where we've sent guys to play or, helped kind of push them to a certain team because we like the coaching or the culture, whatever the case may be. It's trust in the recruiting process. So when we've had a player in that locker room with them, whether last year, 3 years ago, but they've played with them. To me, that's the best way you can get on a guy. And it's amazing, you know, how our guys will be able to find a way to say, like, yeah, you know what, I'm not so sure he fits what we're doing here. You know, they never want to, you know, take away an opportunity from a kid, but they also don't want somebody sitting next to him for the next 2 years or 4 years that, you know, they don't want to be in a locker room with. So your players are a big part of that, and then the people you trust in the game, the advisors, the coaches, the GMs, you know, you really got to rely on your network and have trustworthy people.
One thing we get questions on every week or every month, Damon, going through the summer is recruiting. And, you know, we always talk about recruiting on our weekly show, too. And I know the North American Hockey League Showcase is coming up in Minnesota. It starts tomorrow, I think, or maybe it started today. And you guys are going to be able to get out now, you and Mike and Zach. And that's got to be great, especially for the assistant coaches after a whole year of watching video and making phone calls and recruiting in that manner. Now you can actually go watch guys play games and you can see how they react in a game situation without it being on a video. So, you know, this is exciting for you guys, I would think. And I would think probably with the new rules, et cetera, that all three of you are going to be hitting the road here and doing some recruiting work.
Yeah, it's hard to describe, you know, quite honestly. And, you know, it's such a tough, I don't know, two-edged sword, I guess, in recruiting because, you know, you gotta leave the team, which you don't like. You got to leave your wife and your kids, which is very tough to do. But we love being in the rinks. Like there's no, one of the best feelings is going out and evaluating recruiting. So I got to get downstate a couple weeks back, for one of the showcase or the season kickoff event downstate. And, just, you know, felt amazing to be back in a rink. Cause like you said, for COVID per NCAA rules, we were not allowed to leave campus for over a year, because of that, the protocols the NCAA put in place. So it was awesome to be out. We've all been out multiple times already. Once that expired, the restriction to go off campus. And as you said, now it's the busiest time of the year. Really hard to leave the team. You know, like we've got freshmen here. We've got the transfers here. All we want to do is be with the team and be on the ice and teach and coach. But it's so valuable. And part of that reason is it only counts as one evaluation. So the NCAA limits the amount of evaluations and contacts you get. When you go to a showcase event and you get to see four games over the weekend and grab your prospects and talk to them, it actually counts as one, or maybe one and one, depending on the way you you know, interact with the student athletes. But that's where the value is at. So we can go cover the entire league, get evaluations in every kid. In today's world, you've got, you know, Michigan kids that we know well playing in Minnesota, in Maine, in Alaska. You know, we're not going to get to Alaska very often to recruit during the season when we do have an off week. So extremely valuable, and you're right. You know, we'll be all over North America the next month or so. And, again, it's challenging sometimes, but, you know, we've got to do it, and it'll be great to get back with the team and focused on Omaha once some of this, we get through some of these events.
Well, Omaha is coming up in about less than 3 weeks now. The Lakers are going to open in Omaha, then they'll play at Michigan, then they come home for Great Lakes State weekend. That's 1 month from right now. Today's the 14th of September. On the 15th of October, we're going to play St. Thomas University right here. Damon, thanks for doing this. Matt, as usual, great job keeping us on the air here. I'm Bill Crawford. That's another Laker Hockey Talk for the month of September on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400, WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie Sports Leader. Now let's get back to regular programming.